Knives, machetes, saws, and shears. Multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to The Reel Down. I am your host, Jimmy Skinner. We are coming at you not so live from, I guess, wherever you're listening, technically. With me, again, Garrett Johnson. For anybody that's just now picking us back up, he's the new co-host, soon-to-be host when I leave his ass with all of this. I'm totally kidding.
Please don't.
Yeah, you'd be lost. Trying to learn this. Yeah. Well, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself? Just hanging in there. Trying to get out on my Hobie the other day, and I guess I messed up my 360 drive, and I had left the water in my hole, and it corroded all my wiring, so I got to redo all of it pretty much.
Nice. Struggling a little bit. Blake will have a fun trip with yours. That's the kind of crap I'm dealing with. For anybody that's going to be in the Tennessee area, the Tennessee Boat and Fishing Expo is going on this coming up weekend. It'd be the 3rd, 4th, and 5th in Lebanon, Tennessee.
Yeah.
It's not as big as the East Tennessee show, but it's really good. I always enjoy it. You know, 2020, it was super big, but COVID, obviously, and then there wasn't one, and then a small one. So it's working its way back up to the glory, but... come see us. Me and Garrett will both be there at some point. I'll be there most of the weekend. So anybody in the area that's listening, I'll be there. The only day I won't be there is Friday. It's my wife's birthday. But other than that, come hang out, buy a kayak, check out all the cool deals on tackle. Show season is in full swing.
Yeah. Show season and now tournament season.
And I haven't been to one yet. That's kind of weird. Fish and shows are my thing, and I've missed all of them so far. I was supposed to go up to the Cincinnati show. I was going to go check out the Indy show, and I haven't done that. I didn't go to the East Tennessee show. Saving all my money for the Bassmaster Classic.
If you're
going to
be doing all that, yeah.
Yeah, I'll save all mine for the Classic Expo. That one's always
the way to do it.
I spent a lot of money at that last one. But, yeah, so if y'all are in town, make it to that. That's kind of what I've been dealing with, is trying to get everything together. We start tomorrow. We got to take everything over there and set up. So I got to leave super early in the morning to go do that, because they opened the doors to start setting up at 8 o'clock, and it took us till 8 p.m. last year. And I do not want to do that again. So we're going to try to get on a little earlier. And I got to go to Murfreesboro in the morning. A lot of the kayak community will know this information by now, but, we lost, a good guy last week unexpectedly. Diehard member of the New Canoe family, Mike Schmitz. You know, most folks that hadn't met him could tell you how good of a person he is. He's just always positive, always smiling, real awesome guy, full of knowledge. You know, prayers and everything with his family. I know his wife's dealing with a lot right now, but I'm going to get his boat tomorrow, and we're going to set up his boat at the show. Just kind of a little memorial for him, because wasn't really too many people that fished kayaks in Tennessee that didn't know who he was. So, and he hunted in Africa and all over the world, and heroes on the water. He was part of everything, so everybody knows him. So
man was an inspiration.
He really was. Sure. He's going to be missed. I found out last Saturday, and it sucked a lot. So I'm sure we'll tell a bunch of stories and get laughing about it, but. But anyway, on to brighter news. So we're coming at with another great show. This week we got the KBF Trail Series kickoff event in Polk County, Florida, Kissimmee Chain. There was a few different lakes attached to this one and a couple that had been removed, which actually it doesn't show the list here on Fishing Chaos. So sorry about that. Maybe they should
turn it out. I've got Lake Cypress, Lake Hatchetoneeha. Kissimmee to basically Kissimmee Chain, Lake Rosalia, Tiger Lake, Lake Marion, Lake Pierce, Lake Arbuckle, Crooked Lake, and I don't even know if I want to try this one.
You've missed two already, but it's all good.
Lake Weohayakakpa.
That's forever what I'll know it as now. I don't know that one. A bunch of them crazy, you know, Native American named lakes down there in Florida. We brought for you this week is we've got the day one and day two winners, and we didn't worry about that. There was a 2-day event going on, two a day total, kind of like the Pro Series always was, and the 10 Invitational. The same guy did both of those, so he was in the 10 house, so I didn't want to bother him. We'll try to get him on with the 10 winner for next week. To let him talk about, you know, how stoked he was to make it into the 10 house. But without further ado, we have the day one winner, Michael Lavoy. What's going on?
Hey.
And then the day two winner, Mike Elsie, returning guest. Glad to have you again.
Good to be here, guys.
Yep. All right. So, first off, congrats. And, you know, tell our listeners about, they probably know a lot about this. This is one of those like bucket list areas for a lot of people. You know, most folks think about Okeechobee, the Harris Chain, and the Kissimmee Chain, but either one of y'all that want to give us a kind of a rundown of the lakes and kind of like the structure that a lot of those fisheries are down there on the Kissimmee Chain.
Go for it, Lavoy.
So, this is my third time down here. I've been coming down a little family vacation / fishing thing for the last 3 years. What I've noticed is most of the lakes are really shallow. A ton of grass, lily pads, tules. And there's not a lot of structures, not a lot of, there is some cypress trees in the water, not a lot of rock. And you got a mixture of hard bottom and soft bottom. That's pretty much it. That's what I figured out.
And a lot of different grasses from what I remember when I was down there.
I'm still figuring all that out. There's a lot of different
stuff. You figured something out.
And some lakes didn't have like any grass really. When you think of grass, most people are thinking like hydrilla and, you know, coontail and stuff like that. A lot of those lakes didn't have any of that at all. Their form of grass was the Kissimmee grass.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, like Mike was saying, reeds and the pencil reeds. Other people call them buggy whips or, you know, and any sort of variation of that type of weed, if you want to call that a weed. Arrowheads and pads and spatterdock. That was the main types of vegetation down there for the most part.
A lot of that spatterdock.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Most of it actually is spatterdock. There's
mm-hmm.
very little true, you know, flat laying lily pads, but there is some though for sure. But
yeah.
A lot of it's spatterdock.
So, first off, let's talk about a little bit about the weather setup. Cause I know last year, I was down there last year and I remember day one of the tournament when I launched, it was 28 degrees.
There was ice on the ramp.
Yeah, it was stupid. Like, yeah. I finally got to go fish Florida in January, and it was the coldest weather they'd seen in 25 years. So please tell me how much better it was this year.
It was better. But I mean, there was like a little bit of low coming in, and I started thinking about last year going, no, this can't, why is this happening? You come all the way down here for this great weather and the fish, and all of a sudden it's like got this low, but it turned out to be not bad at all. It was nice.
Yeah, and I'm probably going to take the blame for the cold front, because it is every, and I'm not saying I go to Florida a whole lot, but I've been down there, you know, half a dozen times for different events, not necessarily just the kayak fishing, but, you know, back in the bass boat days, I had a couple of events down there as well. And it didn't matter what time of year I went to Florida, there was always a cold front that followed me there.
See, like, Jack over here.
I'm glad you say that, Mike, because I thought it was me too. So.
No, I mean, I don't know what it is about it, but it's always like the day or two before the actual tournament starts too. So, but yeah, like Mike was saying, it this year was not near as bad. I mean, it dropped down from mid 80s to, like, you know, the high 60s for a couple days, and at night it got down to mid 40s, upper, you know, low 50s, which again was an absolute cakewalk compared to last year.
Yeah,
it was nothing like last year.
Like
the wind, we had the wind, but we didn't have the cold.
It was breezy at times, yeah. But yeah, it was 1,000% better than last year.
Man, what's crazy is, like, I was on the fence about coming down there, and I didn't, because last year was so bad. Like, I saw the whole cold front thing, and I was like, not again. I'm not driving all the way past Orlando to get that crap again.
Yeah.
But I hate I missed it. I mean, I started seeing all the pre-fishing photos getting shown, and, like, everybody was on freaking tanks, and I was like, oh, figures.
Lots of big fish caught.
Yeah, man. There were, I think when I saw Chad talking about between practice and the tournament, I think he said there was to either 10 or 11 that he knew of double digits caught at that point of the end of day two. That's nuts. Like, Florida's got them.
Well, yeah. It was awesome. Pre-fishing was great. I mean, and I'll go into it later on, but just as in a quick nutshell, I mean, the fish were biting everywhere, I think. I mean, all the lakes that I practiced on, and I didn't hit them all, but all the lakes that I practiced on, I mean, I was catching them. Now, some of them, you know, had better quality overall than others, which that, you know, kind of played into my decision-making later on, but for the most part, I mean, you can go in any of the lakes on our list and catch fish. So it was cool for sure.
Well, go ahead. I mean, that's where we're at. Let's talk about your pre-fishing a little bit. So like you said, you've got experience down there. So you've got, you know, history, as they say, kind of know what to expect and stuff like that. So just kind of talk about your how you approached your pre-fishing and kind of, you know, things that made your decisions for, you know, aspiring anglers. Like, how, break that thought process down a little bit.
Mike, you go first, buddy.
I went to Hatch first, because that's where I fished last year, and I wasn't able to get out of the houses, out of the little canals, because the wind was ripping so hard, and I'm just in a PA-12 with just a forward pedal drive. That's it. So no motor, no power pole, nothing. So I got stuck in there, and on pre-fish, before all that weather came in, I did catch some good fish out there. So I went and I checked those areas out, and I caught fish, and I caught fish in the wood, and I caught fish in those canals, but they really weren't really big quality fish that I was looking for. So I really did a lot of Google Earth kind of homework before I came out. And I picked Marion, Rosalie, Tiger, and Arbuckle. And then as the week went on, I was going to go fish two lakes. But I started at Arbuckle, and then I was going to go all the way up, and I was going to fish Marion. And I found myself on Arbuckle, and the wind was blowing, and the current was current was flowing through some really deep grass, and I started catching decent fish. And then I hooked into a giant, and she schooled me, but they were there. They were on that current and that deep grass. And I'm like, I'm coming back here on day one. That's it. That was it.
The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Heck yeah. Well,
sounds like it was a good call.
Yeah, I know. And that's, so I didn't check any of those lakes last year. We didn't have the time, and I stuck to Hatch, one of the canals between Hatch and Kissimmee, and we went to Cypress. Cypress just looked like it should have been amazing, and I never got bit on Cypress, and it just made me mad because out of all of them I checked, Cypress was, I was like, this will be where I tear them up, and never got bit. But Elsie, tell us about your pre-fishing breakdown. If you don't want to say where you were, you don't got to.
No, that's cool. That's cool. Going off of what you just said about Cypress from last year anyway, last year that lake was completely choked with weeds, with grass. And, you know, it was nothing basically but punching mats all day. But the whole lake was essentially one big mat, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I tried out there, too, and I had a couple bites or whatever. They were quality ones, but, man, it was just it's so hard to find a needle in a haystack out there. And so you not getting any bites out there last year, don't feel bad, because I mean it's not like the fish were everywhere, and to find a group of fish out there was pretty tough. Now when you did it though, then you were in good shape, of course. But anyway, yeah. That's beside the point. This year, I didn't even go to Cypress because that's what was in my mind that lake was going to be like, was just a big solid grass flat again. Apparently it was completely different this year. There wasn't near the grass that it was like last year. But now I put a little bit of time on just about all the lakes. I did not go to Hatch. I did not go to the lake that you were trying to pronounce there, Garrett. Was it's just known as Walking Water. So I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name, but that's what the locals call it, is Walking Water. I wanted to. There's a couple times. I mean, I drove by the ramp a couple different times, and I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't know. It didn't quite suit me in a way. Pardon?
Said the vibes were off.
They were, yeah. The vibes were off. So I bypassed that one, but I was on, I think, all the other lakes. I really liked Arbuckle.
Did they take Lake Jackson off?
Yes. Lake Jackson, I don't think, is in Polk County.
Oh, well, that makes sense, because it's the furthest one out.
Yeah.
It's out.
So, but yeah, the addition to Lake Arbuckle, I really like that lake. It's an absolute gorgeous lake. It was one of the few lakes that had legit cypress trees. And if you all know my history, I'm a sucker for cypress trees.
Oh yeah.
So
I feel that.
Yeah. And I can catch fish. There's just something about cypress trees. I've just got a good relationship with, as goofy as that sounds.
Me too. And that's what sucked me into cypress. I mean, not the name, but it literally has a lot of standing cypress trees that were in the water. And but like you said, that place was just so choked out last year.
Yeah.
But
you can actually fish them in Arbuckle, and I know how to fish cypress trees. I mean, I've got that connection, I guess, with a cypress tree. Again, as goofy as that sounds, And I could catch them. I was catching fish. I never did catch any real big fish, but like my first day there, first time ever seeing that lake, I caught like 90 inches in my best five. I'm like, okay, this has definitely got some potential.
Not too shabby.
Right. So I spent another day on there later on and caught one, you know, and caught fish. But again, it's just some of the quality was just a little concerning. I mean, because I knew I could go there and at least catch a limit, like nothing. I was pretty confident in that. But, you know, competing against this field, I mean, everybody that fishes at the Invitational, they're good. They're going down there for one reason, the same reason that I was going down there, right? Just get back into the 10 house, or to get into the 10 house to begin with, right?
Right.
And so, I mean, you're going to have better than average quality of fish on a consistent basis. And I did not find the quality fish that Lavoie found. So I ended up not fishing there. Almost went there the second day, actually, but go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say we're gonna get to the quality of fish that he found here in just a second.
Yeah, right.
He did. He did find a.
He found them for sure.
The lake had a lot of everything. It had, like you said, it had the cypress. It had those deep grass. The lake kind of choked up, so you had two points, right?
Mm-hmm.
It had a river system. It had a canal. It had a bridge that you could fish up to, right? It had, and then it had like some flats on it, some like nice flats in the back where the cypress was. So, and it had like small chunks of that spatter dock, like little spots of it, which when that wind's blowing, like I fished the California Delta, when you have like little sections of grass like that, tules or whatever it is, those fish will kind of gang up in there and they'll like in the current and they'll just pick off bait as it comes by. So it kind of had a lot of that. And that attracted
and a lot of really big alligators in that lake as well. And
dude, yeah.
Like for real. I actually got to see an alligator attack. I mean, like full breached out of the water twice. An alligator was getting something. I don't know if it was another gator, if it was a bird or what, but it was the coolest thing I've seen in a long time. I'm just glad I wasn't sitting right there at the time.
We didn't get our taste of them when we were in Florida last year because it was just so cold. They just weren't moving around. Right. I mean, you'd find them on the bank every now and then, but the Arbuckle, I have a new respect for them. Like,
yeah, and Arbuckle was full of them. And I mean, like 8-10s. Like legit gators, and they were kind of growling amongst each other and all kinds of stuff going on. But the reason why I bring that up, again, another kind of silly side note, is every time I got around alligators, I was catching fish.
I've heard that connection from other like Florida boat anglers. Like,
yeah,
I found them in the water, fish around them. Like, they're usually hanging out with their food. Like,
I don't know what it was about it, but every time, and it was like that on every lake that I was. If I was on a particular lake and like no gators are anywhere in sight, I wouldn't really get bit. And then I'd run up on a gator and like, oh, hey, look at that. There's fish. I don't know. It's the weirdest thing. But I was on a gator patch, I guess.
Did either of y'all have any curious gators?
Like, I didn't. No, I didn't.
I had one big one. Like you launched, when you fished it, did you launch from the north?
Yes.
So when you're coming down the north, you know, the peninsula on the east side that kind of came out?
Yeah, yeah.
On the southern side of that where you had those that cypress trees in there?
Right.
There was a big giant gator that was sitting on that peninsula. And when I came in there, it made a giant splash, jumped in the water, and started swimming right at me. And then it stopped. And it just was just sitting there. It just stopped. I'm like, okay, I'm going to, you know, I ain't used to this. I'm going to go around him. As I went to the right, it went right and it stopped and it slowed down. It's like, okay, let's go back the other way. Start going back the other way. It turned around and it started going back the other way. I was like, oh shit. Okay. And I spun around and I just took off. I went as fast as I could. Like, I'm not, you know, just giant lizard.
Yeah.
I don't know why I would have felt more confident if I'd had a motor, but those things can swim like 20 something plus miles an hour. It wouldn't have mattered anyway.
No.
But just being out there, just pedals, I'd have probably been freaking out. Like, oh, I'm only in a 12 foot kayak. He's probably that big. Like,
exactly. Right. But I didn't mean to get us on a tangent on a whole alligator thing. But, that was part of my pre-fishing though, I guess. But I sampled pretty much most or a good chunk of most of the lakes, and I settled into one that from history. I fished the same lake last year. In fact, pretty much the same area, and did pretty well. And so, yeah, taking in multiple factors, the weather changing, the pressure that some of these other lakes that I knew that they were just going to get pounded, not only by kayak anglers, but, you know, there was like a 65 plus bass boat tournament launching out of, you know, Kissimmee State Park or something like that too. And so I knew they were going to run into like Tiger, for example. Tiger, I like fishing Tiger Lake. Mm-hmm. It fishes, it's like, I don't know, it almost fishes easier because there's only two types of structure those fish can get on, right? They're either in the pads or they're in the Kissimmee grass because there's nothing else. There's no other type of weed. There's no trees in the water or anything.
Right.
And so it just seems to fish a little easier. And it fishes smaller though.
Yeah.
Which is a downside. So anyway, all those things combined, the weather change, the amount of competitors, plus the bass boats, all those things combined kind of pushed me to try to get away from some of that. And I ended up basically fishing some history, and it ended up working out.
Yeah. What lake did you fish, Mike?
Marion.
Is that the one that had the island?
There are some islands in Marion, yes.
Yeah, like on the west side of it.
There's two islands on that lake.
Yeah, I looked at that because we had the wind, and I figured that the island's kind of close to the shore. You'd have that current that'd be ripping through there.
Plus there's a boat ramp right there. So it makes it kind of easy.
That helps.
Yeah.
Bud something or other.
Yeah.
But before we get into the day one, did y'all have a bunch of fan boat encounters?
I did not, actually. No. And that was a first. It was a first. I figured when I was on like Kissimmee, there was one, I think, that went by. A few crappie guy, you know, crappie fishermen and bass boats and stuff. I mean, and that's another lake I was really considering too, because I've done decent on Kissimmee as well. And I went out there in a practice day and had a limit in like 30 minutes. There weren't any giants in that limit in 30 minutes, but I was like, hey, there's definitely some fish here. But yeah, again, it's like, okay. I caught a couple like 21s and pluses on this lake, and on this lake I didn't catch anything like that. So, you know, you got to swing for the fences on some of these things. So I just went with the quality.
Nice.
Heck yeah. Well, all right. So let's you know, jump right on into day one. So whoever wants to start, you know, just tell us how your day turned out. I've got a photo already uploaded here for whenever we hit the donkey of the day.
Yeah. Go ahead, LaVoy.
Day one, like I said, I went back to Arbuckle. I immediately went out to that deep grass spatter dock, and it was ripping right off the bat. The wind was blowing hard, and I just started off with a chatterbait and like a punch rig, and just started meticulously hitting every single point, going in maybe 30 yards into it, and then going to the next one, and just moving my way up the lake, and that was pretty much it. And I started catching fish, and just stuck with that. And those fish were kind of right on those points. I did go into the trees a little bit. I caught some fish, but they were smaller fish, or a bunch of bucks that were right on the trees. I don't know if there was a lot. It looked like there was a lot of bait or fly around. I think there were garters. But I immediately kind of got out of there and went back and just, it was tough. I mean, literally I was up and out of the seat all day long, because the wind was just ripping. I didn't have a motor. I just pedal, get up there. Sometimes I try and grab some grass and wrap it around my H rail and try and hang on there for a minute, but I had to work pretty hard. Really did. But it paid off. Yeah, I caught some decent fish.
I can only imagine how. So I did it last year in the same boat you're talking about, but with a motor, and it was everything the motor wanted. Because we had Saturday last year, we had 30 mile an hour sustained 40 mile an hour gusts, and it was absolutely ripping, dude. So I can't imagine only having your pedals. Like, that must have been exciting.
And no reverse either. When I got into those trees with no reverse, that was just stuff everywhere. I'm like trying to paddle backwards and just rods and just, oh man, it was fun, but the fish were there, and that, you know, that kept me into it, you know, it kept me going. You know, it was about 2 bites an hour, but I was looking for 7 bites. That's all I was looking for.
Can I ask, like, what direction the wind was blowing for most of the day?
North.
It was a strong north wind.
It was a cool wind. Yeah.
No, and so most of the fish that you were catching, like, the better quality, were what stage of the spawn would you say they were in?
They were post, or they were just going in. Wow. The couple of the bellies were pretty soft. On one of them was really soft. So I think she was post, and the other one I didn't check, but I think she might have been post too. But yeah, they were they weren't. If you look at the fish, they're not real fat. They're just giant. Yeah. They're just big, huge head with kind of a natural curvature of the body. Yeah.
Go ahead and tell us about your big one. I'm gonna, while you tell the story, I'm gonna go ahead and pull it up here.
So I started to figure out that towards the middle of the day, late morning, they were. Oh shit! Oops, are you still on there?
Yeah, we're still here. That's me screen sharing. You're good.
Oh, okay. They were getting into mixed grass. They were getting to that Kissimmee grass, like Thule style grass, that tall grass, with the spatter dock mixed in. So they were kind of in there. So I started focusing on that. Okay. And she was just off of that. And she swallowed it. She just ate it right away. And that was a lot of fun. That fish was.
Did she give you a good fight, or did she just kind of give up on you?
No, she did. Every one of these fish fought pretty hard. I fished braid on everything. I switched to braid, and luckily that braid cut through that spatter duck pretty good. And so she ran across and ran back, and I just tried to bury the rod into the water a few times, keeping her down. She must have jumped twice, and I just got her in the net and just sat back and did the big breath and tried to grab some grass to kind of anchor up on.
Yeah, put the rod down.
The wind was just taking me. I was gone.
That's crazy. Did you happen to get a weight on her? Do you keep a scale with you?
No, I don't. But she was probably around, I'd say just over 8. I'd say around 8 pounds. Because she wasn't real fat, as you can see.
So 23¾. She's big though.
She's fat.
I love that Florida strain look too, man. That just big black back, big old fish.
Dark.
They're different. Like compared to the NorCal, Northern California style largemouth, their bone structure is completely different. They're like, it's. I had to learn the hard way when I first came down here my first year and I fished. And I fished Jackson, and I fished the back of Jackson where the canal was. And I hooked into fish to win that tournament. But I couldn't land any of those fish because I didn't hook them hard enough. I was fishing 12-pound test on a medium rod throwing a 6-inch swim bait. And I set the hook on them, and it wasn't hard enough. I couldn't penetrate their mouths. On this tournament, as soon as I got bit, I just laid in them with 65-pound braid, and they were
in the wound.
Yeah,
hero hook sets, man. I learned that down there last year too. That you did. You had to really mean it when you hit those guys.
Absolutely.
Which is, you know, I enjoy that. I like giving them that completely over, just rude hook set that they don't need. I'll do the same thing down here in a clear creek with like a 10-inch spotted bass, and I'll send the little bastard into the oblivion, and that's still fun.
Yeah, I got hit by a couple of them, then I launched them out of the water, a little 12.
That's awesome. Well, Elsie, go ahead and tell us about your day one, man. How did your shape out?
Yeah, man, it was it was kind of a grind as well. Well, yeah, it was. Overall, it was a grind. I started out, I found a little area like behind some lily pads that just had some like tree limbs or something that had blown in there. So they just basically created little isolated brush piles or sticks or something, right? And in practice, I shipped a couple fish off of there. So that's where I started. And it must have been in a later day, an afternoon thing, because they weren't there in the morning early. So I left that area, just fished my way down. And the first fish I caught, and actually the first fish that I've ever caught in Florida out of a dock. And I'm a dock flipping fool up here at home, but down there for some reason I can't catch
all cold. The grass down there, the trees.
I know, but for whatever reason, there was this one dock that I was going by in order to get to my next little section there. So, you know, I mean, what do you do? It's a single dock. What the heck, right? You skip underneath there. And my first fish was a 19 and a quarter. I'm like, well, that's a good way to start. I just want four more bites like that now. Right. And I fished that for just a little bit more and didn't do any good. So just kind of continued on down the bank a little bit. And I came into a section of just reeds, basically cattails, you know, and you know how they grow down there. There's like, you know, clumps of them here. There's like, you know, three or four, and then you might have one or two out by itself, and then, you know, so on and so forth. And that's the kind of stuff that I was targeting on. I know fish, there's bass down there, a lot of times we'll use those to spawn, you know, up against at the bases of them. So whether it is if I was going to catch a buck or not, I mean, I was at least looking for a limit first in order to, you know, before you can upgrade. But so then my next fish was came off of something like that. Actually, the rest of my fish came off of stuff like that. And they were, you know, 16, 16 and a half. I had a 15 and then like a 15 and a half. I had a nice little bite window from essentially from, let's call it 8:30 to about 10-ish that I filled my limit in essentially that hour and a half span. And so at 10 o'clock in the morning, I mean, I've got 84 and change. I'm feeling pretty good. I mean, that's a decent start to the limit. I got all day. We fish until 3. I got all day to call up. And, man, I called up one time there just before 11. Not a big upgrade, but a little bit. I got rid of a 15 and traded it out for like a 16 and three quarter or something like that. And dude, it was the last bite I got all day.
Ugh,
wow. After that, I loaded. I even went to the ramp. I loaded up and trailered down to the other end of the lake because the wind was blowing pretty good at that time. And a few days prior to that, in practice, I was just chucking a spinnerbait out in kind of somewhat open water in a way. There was a little bit of grass out there and then just like real small little clumps of lily pads, just like three or four at a time. And they were real far spaced out. Yeah. I was chucking a spinnerbait out there and I caught two like over 21 inches a piece. I'm like, okay, I'm going south. Right. And, I'll at least start chunking a spinnerbait or something. The conditions are identical and hopefully I can run into a big one. I never never got a sniff. So that was pretty frustrating to have a solid limit that early in the day and then never have a bite the rest of the day. And then come to find out, of course, I hear people, you know, got on a flurry right there at the end of the day too. And I wasn't even in the same planet for that matter.
I hate those days, man.
Oh man, I don't know. So that's how my day one went. It was I could have went to the house at like 11 and forgot it.
Just, all right.
And so yeah, that's how it was. I just did not run into that quality bite that I was hoping to. And if I had to do it over again, I probably should have just stuck it out where I started and just, you know, stuck it out up there. Because, I mean, there was big ones up there, too. You know, the old saying goes, hindsight's always 20, you know, 20-20. But, and then you never leave fish to find fish. But, I mean, I had some fish found kind of everywhere since. So it wasn't quite that extreme in my mind. But looking back now, maybe I should have just, you know, stayed where I was and went for it that way. But
right.
What do you do?
And that's like you said, that's a little bit different situation though. I mean, you had your limit. You've kind of seen what the size that your limits consisted of and the fish you've been catching. Like, I don't, those are times that I actually consider like, okay, well, I know I had a bigger bite somewhere else. So I don't fault you for that at all. And you still had a good day, man. You 22nd by the end of day one out of 105. So, you know,
I thought it was like 18th or whatever, but anyway, it didn't matter. Yeah. It was, whatever.
Check out on the wrong day.
That's
it,
okay.
It says 22nd, but who knows?
Okay. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's fine. I mean, I know in the long run, I was essentially one big fish away from fishing in the 10. So it's, that's all I needed. I know.
Yeah. And then, you know, to go back, Michael, you ended up with the win with 98 3/4, and just something for you numbers folks that pay attention, 98 3/4, and he still had a 16 1/4 in the bag. So
yeah,
another one of these sacks that one more crazy fish is just blowing it out there, you know.
Yeah.
Not giving
we had a heck of a day, man.
Yeah, and before we get into, go ahead.
I hooked into her too, and I lost her. I lost two really good fish in the grass. They just got too wrapped up. I just couldn't get them out. I try and like feed them a little line and see if they could work their way out, but she just kept jumping and spinning in it, and just yeah. But I'm blessed for what I got. I'm happy.
Oh man, that's you can't. It was a great day. And then before we jump over into day two, I wanted to give Russ a little shout out with that donkey that he caught that day.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping, MidwayUSA.com. Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
24 or something like that?
Yeah, 24 and a half, I think.
God.
That's respond right there. That's,
yeah.
He's ready to pop.
Yeah. For anybody that hasn't seen it, he's got a cool little video that he shared up on it too. It's a pretty cool catch. But yeah, so let's
go ahead. First day, were you guys kind of mostly catching them like punching or kind of moving baits? Punching and chatter baits are kind of the main deal, but
I was flipping. That's all I was doing. I was flipping. I couldn't hardly buy a bite on a moving bait. I caught, out of the whole week of practice and everything, I caught one fish on a chatterbait. I don't know. And that's very that's not normal. Now, it was a good one, too, by the way. It was like a 5-pounder out of Lake Pierce. And I tried to do it again on another day. And that was the only fish I caught all week on the chatterbait. It's weird.
Wow.
I fished four different baits. I fished a swim bait, I fished a chatterbait, a spinner bait, and that punch rig. And the chatterbait got me bit a lot. But like in the trees, I had to run it. I had to run it into the tree to get them to bite.
Almost like a square bill, like banging off of it.
But I tried a square bill, but there was too much grass. So or debris or that black, squiggly, hairy stuff. I don't know what that stuff is, but there was a bunch of that stuff in there. And so the chatterbait kind of made it through all that stuff. And then once I was in open water, it was the swim bait and the punch rig. And that's what really
When you were talking about catching them in some of the deeper grass, you know, everybody knows the depth of saying it's deep, you know, relative. What kind of deeper grass are we talking about here? Because like we said, everything out there for the most part shallow.
4.5 feet.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. 4.5. That once I found that deeper grass, that's when I saw the good
way. Awesome.
Well, kind of like a post-spawn recouping area, sounds like.
That's exactly what I thought. It was kind of like in areas where you could tell there were some flats and there were some trees around, and they just kind of would go to that, and then it just looked good. It looked healthy.
Yeah. Sweet. Smart.
It's crazy for me that, like, you know, end of January, post-spawn already. Like... Right. We have it until May here in Alabama. Like, to think that those fish are already, some of them are already on that off edge of that cycle. It's just like, well, FU Florida, those, that's what I gotta say.
Some of those lakes, you know, obviously they warm up faster than some of the others do. And I read that in just some of my homework and research that I was doing, that Arbuckle was one of the first lakes that they spawn. I think a part of that is because the cypress trees and the real tannic water, that water's just jet black, and it warms up the fastest there. Compared to some of the other lakes, like, you know, where I was fishing, they were just now coming in. I mean, all my fish were fat, and I'll get into it here in a minute when we start talking about the day two stuff. But some of the males that I caught, I knew were males because they were peeing all over me when I was trying to measure them. So that clued me in on some stuff too.
Yeah.
What'd you get, Mike? What'd you get for a water temperature on Marion?
mid 60s, low to mid 60s.
In the back, the trees in Arbuckle, I was getting 70 degrees at the end of the
day. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Wow. It warms up a whole lot faster in Arbuckle than some of these other places.
I bet you our water's like in the freaking 40s right now, 50s. Oh man! Well, let's go ahead and jump in today too. I want to hear about it. You know, any big changes in the weather front, weather pattern? Still a lot of wind. Go ahead, jump in, Elsie.
Really, the only difference was it was a little sunnier. I mean, it was still a little breezy. I don't know if it was quite as bad. LaVoy, do you remember? Was it quite as when do you listen? I didn't think it was.
In the morning, it was a little bit, right? But then it kind of chilled out, and we had.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I do know that it was sunnier longer throughout the day. It was a dark, cloudy, gloomy day on the first day.
Yeah, the morning it was a little cloudy, and then it kind of cleaned right up.
Yeah, yeah, it was like one of the most beautiful sunrises I've seen in a long time, for sure.
Wasn't it?
It was unbelievable. Yeah.
Like a little array of colors going on.
Yes, it was. Purples and all that. It was. It's awesome. But yeah, for me, man, I struggled so bad internally there to even when I woke up that morning of actually where I was going to fish. Mm-hmm. I did not have my mind made up. I mean, I had my mind made up that I was not going to go back to the same area. Okay. And then again, then I started thinking, all right, well, I know Arbuckle just got pounded. I know Tiger got pounded, and I know this lake has bigs in it, and maybe for whatever reason, maybe they'll bite better. This is like my only my best odds of putting up a big sack in my mind. And so I'm like, all right, I guess I'm going to go back. Reluctantly, I know it sounds nuts, but I reluctantly went back to the same lake, went back to the very same. I essentially just did the exact same thing. I fished the same areas, the same time. My pattern, my rotation was almost the same. It was a little different this time because of what happened mid morning here. But yeah, and then to top it off, my very first fish, yes, came earlier in the day. My first one came at 7:30. I'm like, okay, cool. It's a bonus. It was a whole whopping 14 and a half incher. I'm like, okay, well, there goes this day. And then
here we go again.
Okay. Here we go again. Yep, that's exactly what I was thinking. Yep, well, Florida's going to kick my butt again. And then I didn't have anything for like an hour. And then I fished that one dock again just because, right? And of course, there wasn't anything there. I knew that was a fluke. But the next little section of reeds and stuff where I caught a few fish there the day before, I fished one of those clumps, and I pulled an 18. I'm like, okay, all right, that's cool. We can do that. And then again, nothing for a while. Actually, nothing at all in that section. So I picked up and I was heading down towards the other corner. I was probably a good half mile away. And so I'm going down. I'm basically just paralleling this whole big line of lily pads, heading towards this other corner of the lake that's got a mixture of stuff, Kissimmee grass and the pads and the cattails and all that kind of stuff that I'd been fishing. And out probably 30, 40, 50 yards or so was like literally two little strands of Kissimmee grass just sticking out of the water, like 10 yards apart from each other. I've seen it before. I've passed by it 1,000 times. I saw people pass by it 1,000 times. Nobody ever fishes it. Nobody ever stops to do it. So as I'm like cruising by, I went, okay, I'm just going to pitch one out there just because. And I get freight trained and broke off just like that.
Ooh.
I'm like, are you serious? Okay. So I get retied. Getting repositioned, make another pitch over there, and wham, I catch another 18. I'm like, wow, how about that? But I didn't think that that was the fish that broke me off, though, because that fish that broke me off, even though it was so fast, I mean, I felt the weight. It was freaking heavy. And so as I'm measuring this fish, this 18-incher that I just caught, like I just mentioned a minute ago, it was peeing all over me. I'm like, thinking to myself, that's a freaking huge male for where I come from. I'm not used to 18-inch males.
Yeah.
So if this is the male, how big is that female that's over there?
Found my double digit.
I'm getting excited. That's right. I'm getting excited. So I put a different bait on, you know, to give it a different look, a different presentation. I threw over there. I hook up, and it comes off. Like, I couldn't, it was like running to me. I couldn't keep up with it. And it comes off. I'm like, all right. So I'm starting to get a little frustrated, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to leave that stick, if you will, alone for a second. I'm just going to throw over to the next one, which is like, say 10, 15 yards or so away. If that, my first pitch over there, I get something, picks it up, and I set the hook, and it's going, coming to the boat. I couldn't keep up with it. And it comes off too. I can't do anything right. I'm blowing it, right? Because I know, like, from the day before, my opportunities were very short. You know, I didn't have a whole lot of bites. If it was going to be anything like the day before, my bite window is going to be over in the next hour or so. So I'm really getting upset.
Yeah, those are those moments that really, like, test your nerves. Like,
yeah.
I feel like this is why they should allow alcohol. Because that would have been like a beer cracking moment, like, all right.
Something. So I went ahead and threw back into the second piece of grass where I had just lost the one because I couldn't keep up with it, and I got hit again. And this time I like you said, laid the wood to it this time. I crossed its eyes. And it turned out to be a 22.5-inch behemoth of a bass. Nice. The heaviest, shortest bass I've ever caught. I mean, I know this thing only was only like 22.5 inches. Look at the girth.
Oh, God. That fish is so big.
I kid you not, man. I really, and I didn't have a scale, so I could be off a little bit. But I'm telling you, I bet you that fish was very close to 10 pounds.
Oh, I wouldn't even doubt that, because you think about the vertical measurement you see right here. You know,
it was
10 to 12. I don't even know around.
She was as fat as she was long. I'm telling you. The girth on the thing was huge. It's crazy.
It's just enormous. Thick.
So that's here's
such a fucking good fish.
It was awesome. I just wish that her tail was just a little bit longer. But anyway, it is what it is. It was cool. So then I get this fish in, and of course, I get some pictures and some, war groups going and some let's goes and all this stuff, right? And I finally get my composure after putting her back in the water. I'm like, okay, now that fish just came off of the stick that's over there. Is it possible that there's still another fish over here? So I make a couple more pitches and didn't get anything. I'm like, all right, maybe for whatever reason, maybe that was the one that broke me off, and she just moved over after being disturbed a couple times or something. But whatever. I'll make one more pitch before I go on. Thump, hook up, and I throw a 19.5 in. So off of those two little sticks of grass, over 60 inches of bass come up in 30 minutes.
That's so crazy.
You got five bites on it.
Oh, and here's the when I netted the 19.5, my bait for my first cast where I got broke off fell out of its mouth.
Oh.
It still had the plastic. Yeah. I was throwing a little creature bait. My first cast when I got broke off, it was like in my net. I'm like, wait a minute, where'd that thing come from? Because I was throwing a lizard at this point in time, something completely different. And that thing still had plastic in its mouth when I netted it.
That is so crazy.
It was. Yeah. So thinking back, and I didn't really look at the 19-incher all that close. I'm wondering if I had two big males and one female on the same bit.
So yeah. I saw that for the first time in Texas a couple years ago, where literally the female was like so big that she had two like 4-pound males hanging out with her, and I was like, damn, that's nuts.
It's crazy. Yeah. And so that filled out my limit. Those three fish right there filled out my limit. And then I went on down to my next little spot there, and I called out that 14 with an 18.25 at, like, I don't know, 10:45, again, close to 11. And then once again, same as yesterday, not another bite the rest of the day.
Wow. Well, at least the bites were better before they shut off this
time. I know. I was so sweating bullets, though, because I was like, I know I'm just getting passed up right now because I can't catch the dang fish to save my ass.
Yeah.
I don't know. Day two was different, though. You could tell it was going to be tougher, just for me, at least. I felt like it was a tougher day. So, I mean, you must have felt good, though.
But then I was talking to Josh Sharp, he did really well there, right? He was second in the 10 invitational. We ended up in the same area. He fishes the same spot every year. All right. So, so we have that, respect for each other. Of course, I'm not going to just go in. I know where he's fishing, but I kind of have like my section and he had his section. Right. Well, we're talking at the award or before the awards and everything set up. He's like, man, did you catch all those in the afternoon too? I'm like, what are you talking about? I said, yeah, I only had one fish at noon, and then the last hour I put up 93 inches. I'm like, are you kidding me? I was right there, and I couldn't get a bite for 4 hours.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, they apparently turned on there in the afternoon as well. Not for me. Huh. I couldn't get it done.
It was tough.
Well, tell us about your day two, Mike. Let's hear it.
My day two wasn't very good. Fishing was okay. I pulled 86 inches, but what happened was when I left that morning, I'm on West Coast time. I adjusted my time on my Lowrance And you know, when on a Lowrance, when you go up, it's like you get like 5 or 6 different things per hour. You know, it's like 146 and then, you know, 206. And then, you know what I mean?
Oh, so yeah.
I adjusted it, and I don't know what I did, but I adjusted an hour different. So, yeah. So I went out, and when I came back in, I was late.
Dang it.
I pulled, I had 86 inches. I figured out that my total would have been 184.75. It would have put me in third place for the double. But it is what it is.
Man, that is heartbreaking.
It's not going to happen again. I can tell you that.
Oh, yeah. You learned that lesson.
But you know, I'm okay. I'm still blessed with day one, and I'm all right. I learned a lesson. I caught good fish, and it is what it is. I'll be back next year. So.
Set some alarms on your phone or something.
My man's gonna have like 2 phones, a watch. He ain't worrying about the Lowrance time no more.
But the fishing was good. It was different. It was, I could tell it was tougher. I just kind of went back to the same areas, kind of the same thing. And then I kind of had to mix it up a little bit. Less swim bait, more punch. And then I went over to where the river, the canal was, where the bridge was. And on day one, it was ripping so hard that the current going through there was nuts. It was crazy. And the bank is really, really steep there. It's like 3 feet, right? Yeah, but I knew there were going to be no fish kind of on that. And there was some smaller fish that were kind of tucked in and a little like, you know, in the grass a little bit, but there was nothing big. And I'm like, day two, I'm going to go back towards the end of the day because I know the wind was going to be chilling out. And I went back there and I was pitching a chatterbait, flipping a chatterbait, maybe like 10 feet, let it hit the bottom, pop it up, let it hit the bottom, pop it up again, and then slow, just bring in real slow. You know, when you're reeling a really good balanced chatterbait on braid, that thing is like,
oh yeah.
And this 22 just came out of the side and just wow,
dang.
And there was no grass around, so she wasn't going anywhere and no grass or anything. And I landed her, and I was pretty happy. And I also caught a 20 that day. And then I had a 13.75, a 16.5, and then I had like a 13.25, I think. So I had those two little dinkers on there that I had to get rid of, and I just couldn't get rid of them. That was it. But I had a good day. It was a lot of fun.
Beautiful
weather.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah. And Florida showed out, man. I should have tried to count up all the 20-inch plus fish that were caught at this event over the span of it. But there was a freaking lot. Like, I just flipping through Fishing Chaos. I mean, there was no. It's like everybody caught one good one, you know.
Yeah,
and again,
I think that makes for a really good event because like everybody has a good fish story that they come home with. And
oh yeah, and I feel like there's a reason that KBF stays in that area this time every year. You know,
it's got them. That place definitely got them. I wish I could, you know. Of course, I'm sure everybody does. Wish you could string your best fire that you had throughout practice and everything just to see, you know.
Right. Like a little side pod, that'd be cool.
Right, I probably would have had
like a pre-fishing champ side pod or something like that.
If I could have strung my best 5 together, I don't know. I probably would have had, I don't know, probably maybe 107 to 109 ish or something like that.
And guys pull that here, and like the online tournaments, they pull like 110. And
oh yeah, they do. Yeah, all the time. Yeah, and I didn't catch, you know, I didn't catch a 24, you know, donkey like y'all did, but I had several that 20 to 21, 22 range, though, over the course of the week.
And speaking of the donkeys, just give another shout out to another giant one. Bobby Dennison caught this freak 24 and 3/4. I mean, he looks like he's literally gripping it to huck it like a football. It's that freaking big. Like, it's so big. And it, like, I don't know if this would hold true down in Florida. My knowledge with the fish, when they're that dark and they're starting almost gray, is that's an old fish. I mean, obviously it's old because of the size, but when they start to make that like turn over the hill in their life, that more gray color comes out. Like, that's a dinosaur of a giant bass, man.
That is a giant.
Look how big that's that so, head is.
Yeah.
I would, when that head came out of the water, I would have probably had a stroke and just died. Like, somebody can grab the rod, it's over for me. But yeah, I just wanted to shout it out because, I mean, there were so many big ones.
The mouth would have been like, oh my God.
Yeah. I know I could stuff both my hands, and I know I don't have the world's giant, you know, biggest hands, of course, but I could stuff both my fists in that 22 incher that I caught.
It's crazy.
Jesus Christ.
I know. The thing was taller than it was, or wider than it was tall again. So it's crazy.
That's so nuts, man.
I remember on that big fish I caught, she swallowed it deep, and I remember I could take my whole hand and just put it all the way in and just get the hook out. Like, I can't do that at home with the bass back home. I can't do that.
Jesus.
Like, this is easy. Okay.
That's so fire. Like, I've caught some good ones. I've caught 123 on Pickwick, but even it didn't have a mouth like that on it. Like, you could almost get your hand in it, but that's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, y'all did a great job, man. I'm excited that the season's kicked back off. Y'all had a great first run at it. Took home some good money and good AOI points. You know, get everything rolling on. Well, what do y'all got next? What's your next tournament?
I've got Lake Murray, South Carolina next February. Nice.
Gotcha.
I'm going back. NorCal, and I'm fishing a local event, Yakabass event up there. I'm going to fish that kind of stuff, but I am going to try and make it to at least three. I'm going to go down and try and make it to Havasu. Obviously we got the KBF and the Delta. And I'd like to do one more. I don't know where, but we'll see what happens. If I can scrounge a boat somewhere, maybe I'll fly out somewhere.
Yeah.
Can I ask, like, logistically, how did you get all of your stuff to Florida from California?
Yeah, I think we actually missed it. I don't know if we talked about it. Mike Lavoie came all the way to Florida from Sacramento, California. So NorCal, like you've been hearing him talk about. So this was a stretch for a tournament angler.
It's a long way.
Coast.
I actually bought a PA-12 from a friend of mine that I met down here. His name is Doug Wilson. Wow. And he's a big fish guy out here. And I bought one of his old PAs, and he just kind of gave me some gear and a board, and I kind of traveled with some rods and some baits and a few reels, and he gave me what I needed. Necessity. I mean, my net was, just put it away. I needed a bigger net. I can't tell you that, but it worked. It worked. So
that's cool.
Yeah, I'm really happy. He really helped me out, honestly. And I just went fishing, man.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on, and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
You know, I fish in the Delta. I know current. I know grass. And I just did my thing.
That's awesome. You showed up with the minimal, gathered what you needed, and now you're taking roots in Florida because you're still there, aren't you?
Yeah, we're going to stay here. We're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah,
definitely. He planned these flights getting canceled. He's decided to stay and just root himself in South Florida, Central Florida.
Yeah. Just keep cashing checks there. He'll pay your rent and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. For real.
Definitely a good place to be this time of year.
It'd be nice if KBF partnered with another, or maybe there was another event, like a bass event, like a week later. I think you'd have a lot more guys that would come down in January and do
KBF. And then I'd say third week in January, fourth week in January, first week of February.
KBF Bass and Hoagie. That would come. Like, there's out west, we have some sticks out there, man. We have some really good. I mean, look at Cody. There are guys you haven't heard of that are just dominant out west.
Yeah.
And they're eventually going to make it out here. You'll see them. But that kind of stuff would attract them out here.
Dude, I'm telling y'all, if Tasmua and Damian Tao ever come away from California, y'all, everybody's got a problem. Like, those dudes dominate out west. Like,
right. I fish with those guys. Like, I traveled to some Southern California stuff with Damian and John Myers. I'm telling you, man, those guys, they're hammers, dude. They will, they'll come down here and take advantage.
For sure. Well, we appreciate y'all coming on, and I know we had to work out all the times and dates, and I'm glad we got to do it. It's been fun to get back into the tournament swing. We've been talking to some directors after our you know, Christmas break we do with the podcast, and I've been getting the itch, and now it's like talking to tournament anglers, and especially this tournament, just freak fish everywhere. It was freaking exciting, man. This is the part of the show we like to get, you know, step back and let y'all thank anybody that, you know, makes it easier for you. Thank your sponsors, your family, shout out anybody you want to. So whichever one of y'all wants to start, man, take it away.
Want me to go, Mike?
Yeah, sure. I definitely want to, first of all, I want to thank you guys for having us on. It's always a good time. And
pleasure having you.
Yeah, you know, the support team, I call them the support crew that I've got there with Shredfin Apparel and Native Watercraft and Titan Tungsten and Yak Attack and Dakota Lithium, Bowman Family Holdings, Fishing Online, Fitzgerald Rods. I'm sure I'm probably missing a couple, but you know, they know who they are, and I know 100% without a doubt that I could not do this without them. And so I definitely want to give a shout out to all that family and the folks that support me, all my friends and family, and the support that I get from competitors and other anglers, you know, all the congratulations that I've gotten, you know, through Facebook and Instagram and text and all that kind of stuff, really means the world to me. Means more than winning actually does. And this one, I can tell you, was awful special to me. It's my first trail series win, and to do it in Florida, which is a state that I do not have a very good track record in. It's that state's always seems to kick my butt in one sense or another. To get the season off, started off on a good note like this, man, it feels good. I just hopefully I can keep the momentum going. And again, I just want to thank all the supporters and friends and family and all that. So again, thank you all.
Awesome, man. What about you, Loy?
I didn't, you know, I had no expectations coming down here. I just I was down here with my family to visit with my mom. It's her birthday. And, you know, they were off doing their thing when I was fishing. And I was really appreciative that my wife was cool about that. And she's super nice. She supports me. And, you know, friends back west, they were really supportive. Like, come on, let's go, Mike, let's go. And then obviously, you know, sponsors, Lowrance, Relion, Motor Guide, BransonBaits.com, P-Line, AFTCO, Red One Systems, Bobby D. Bates. Hey, do you guys mind if I show you that Red One Systems thing, that punch that I was using?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah,
I don't want to plug up too much here, but
no, go for it.
It's kind of neat. So if you look at that weight, right, and there's a little wire. Oh, yeah. It's a Tokyo, right? But it's you've got that weight, and it kind of slides through there, like that.
Huh.
That thing punches through everything. And because in Florida we have that, like, sometimes you'll have that little bit, that grass or that whatever that is on the bottom, just kind of goes right down there, and I could find the hard bottom, and that thing is so sharp, it just goes through everything. So I want to thank them and give me some baits, some baits to go out here and try, and they were obviously really successful. And thank you guys for having me on. I really appreciate it. And thanks, KBF, for having these events and making them so professional. And I'm looking forward to next year.
Awesome. And thanks, KBF, for writing me a big fat check. Y'all both forgot to say that part.
Yes, thank you for that, too.
Hey, I do want to do make one more mention as well, and that's the whole video release thing. I don't know if y'all caught the whole thing during our awards and stuff. So I had a couple of fish that were challenged because they were very, very similar. I had the two 18 inchers that I caught on the second day. I had a couple of characteristics that, man, it looked like they were the same fish. But I mean, they were caught a half mile from each other, and there's some other characteristics that once you looked, of course, there was, you know, no question. But my point is the video release that we do, that is highly recommended. I absolutely second that. I highly recommend video releasing your fish, because it came down to me showing Chad that, hey, so here's the fish that I had. Here's my video release of that fish. You can see that I put it in the water. It swam away. And then there's the timestamp. There's my location stamp. Okay, so then I went to the other fish in question and say, okay, here's the release of that fish. Here's the timestamp. And here's the location of that fish. Wow. End of story. Yeah. Done deal. And that right there is why I have this sitting behind me right now.
That's awesome.
So I just want to give a plug, because not only does it saves the integrity of the sport, the individual, but it also saves the integrity of the whole system, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Sure. Did you do a bunch of video releases, Mike?
I video release every fish I catch.
We do. So I did four on the four big fish. You know, with the whole, like, you know, check it out.
Yeah. No, I do that on every, and we kind of started that in, like, the national championship in the 10 last year.
Yeah.
That's kind of where that started. And then I got a little more of a taste of it in the world championships, or excuse me, in the Pan American Games that I competed in Mexico this past December, where we used a different, app, and we were required to video the whole thing. We didn't even take a picture of the fish. We videoed the whole thing of the fish on the board, us talking, say, here it is, it's whatever it is, 20 inches or whatnot, and then releasing the fish. The whole thing was a 12-second video. We had 12 seconds to video all that. Man, I tell you what, at first I was like, man, there ain't no way. It's hard enough to take a picture of the dang thing, let alone get a video of this whole, right. What, you know? And so once it was all explained and, like, you know, you got 12 seconds to do this, and if you don't, then you just do it over until you get it right. And, man, it was slick. I absolutely loved the whole thing. And I feel that can be the future.
Oh, yeah. We've had too much in the recent history in tournament fishing with accountability and, you know, fish challenges, which are accepted. I mean, you need to be challenged by your peers. If you see something that looks, you know, suspicious, or, you know, I mean, I've caught two fish, the same fish twice in one day and not realized it. And then
I had to
looking back. You're like, oh, shit.
I think
you could be right. I think it'll probably take steps towards it. I think video release will become more prevalent throughout them, and then it may turn into a full video of the whole process, like you're talking about y'all did in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's a conversation for another
day. Yeah, that's a different podcast. I'm sorry. I just wanted to...
Awesome job, guys. Congrats on the first event of the year. Hope y'all have a kick-ass year for the rest of the year, and hope to have you back. You know, we'll be watching y'all kick-ass at another event, and we'll be, you know, glad to have you back on.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll see you guys around.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Awesome. Well, we'll talk to y'all later. We appreciate it.
All right.
Yeah, get home safe, Mike.
Thank you.
Other Mike.
They don't cancel my flight again.
Yeah.
If they cancel your flight again, it's a sign from God just to stay.
I'm just gonna go fishing with it.
That's right. All right.
Guys. One for me.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Man, yeah. I want to say good I wish stuff. I was down there, but I know if I'd went down there, the fishing would have sucked. It'd have been 10 yeah. degrees and snowing, and no big fish would be caught. So, yeah. No, well,
keep you out of there then.
Yeah,
sounds like no. they had a good time though. Like, it's always cool, like this event, because it's like one of the first big events of the year. So there's a lot of excitement around that, and it's awesome for those guys to take on the wins on that.
Oh yeah, I mean, you got to feel good starting your season off with a W, you know. And then yeah, in Florida, like bass fishing heaven, like one of the two or three. Like
yeah,
I'm hoping that those vibes come walking all the way up here to Gunnersville, beginning of March. Yeah. I need pre-spawn and spawning fish, fatties in the grass biting on my frog. And
yeah, that's all I can. Wouldn't complain about that. Yeah,
no, like
I wouldn't complain about a couple 24s or 23s thrown in there either.
Oh man, I've caught a 23 on G. I would like to see something bigger on G.
I feel like it could be done, but I feel like it's not a high probability is what's down there.
You know, I've never caught any freaks in the spring on Gunnersville. I always catch my big ones in the dead heat of the summer frogging.
Hmm.
Or punching, you know, but
yeah,
I know they do. I mean, you keep up with any kind of tournaments, bass boat or not, you know, they catch freaks on Gunnersville in the spring, but hopefully this is the year. Definitely. It kind of sucks that, I mean, I completely appreciate our new pre-fishing cutoff times and
yeah,
off periods Bassmaster and Hobie are doing, but at the same time, we have a local club event the same day, TVKA and NACA, both the same day as that tournament. And like all of my buddies are wanting to go pre-fish and go exploring. And I'm like, I can't freaking go. Like,
sorry, man.
Yeah. But so that's 7 days before the tournament. I'm going to be bugging the shit out of you. Me and you going to have to go tear it up.
Yeah. I'll be there. I'll be ready. I got it marked off already.
Oh, yeah.
So did you get the stuff worked out with Tourney X this time around?
No, I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if it's an update issue. I'm gonna email Dwayne about it, because like everything on the app comes up or the website, it comes up, but as soon as you try to get into the tournament archives, it's like that page does not exist anymore. It actually says this page is not working right now. So I'm gonna let him know, because I mean, how many people are actually looking back on Tourney X? Probably not many. So nobody's probably hit him up yet. But so sorry again, folks. I know the 10's going on. I think they find out the winner of that tomorrow, I think. And so we'll have that show next week. A lot of hammers in that. A lot of good fish were caught. I know the last everybody saw, Josh Stewart was running away with it. I think he had a 7-inch lead or something like
from
that.
From yesterday?
If I remember correctly, I think he's qualified for the 10 more than anyone else, and he hasn't ever won it.
I could see it.
So he is due this event. So, and I know when I talked to him in October, like this is the only thing he was talking about, like
winning the 10,
getting back, and then winning the 10. So you know, I hope it worked out. I hope he.
Yeah,
they did a little interview at a little bar tonight. Just seeing who each person thought would come in dead last, and he just had a shit eating grin on his face. Like, I think he took it home. So we shall see. We shall hopefully have that on next week. If not next week, we'll get it on at some point. But for all my fishing freaks out there, if you like seeing big bags, go check out what some of the boat guys did in Sam Rayburn this weekend. They broke 41 pounds.
God.
Yeah, 41 pounds for five in a tournament. I think they're big with 1068 or something like that. So if you hear this and you haven't heard about it yet anywhere else, go Google it. I'm sure it popped up all over my phone. I'm sure you can find it. So but you got anything else, brother?
No, I think that pretty much does it for me this week. I'm ready for the show this weekend and getting excited for that. Getting to talk to people, talk fishing all day, for
talk fishing, days buy cool stuff at good discounted prices, kind of.
Trying to figure out if I how much I could budget for that, but it's gonna be slim for this go around.
I've only got I've got one booth in mind that I know is gonna be there, and I'm probably just gonna save all my money for that one. And I've been fishing primarily with spanker jigs for the last 2 years, and yeah. they're out of Coleman, and they sell at a lot of shops around here. But he brings out everything he has at these expos, so he's got spinner baits and blade baits and Damiki rigs and all his new crazy color combos. And then he brings all of his skirt material with him, so he can make you some right there. You can buy the material from him. And I talked to him in the off season, so I'm probably giving him all my money this week. I'm gonna load the hell up on his swim jigs. If you're a jig guy and you like swim jigs, try to find or drive through Alabama, pick up some spanker jigs, swim jigs. I love them. I would say they're kind of similar to a Hack Attack jig. They got a pretty good hook on them, but the head's a little different. Freaking phenomenal. I've had I think last year was the first year. It's I had more big fish come on that than a frog. So, So check them out.
Yeah, we There's a booth there that has these buzz baits that I always get, and that's
the red ones.
They got different color ones. He's got
the all black ones and then the red metallic ones. Is that the guy you're talking about? Orange packaging.
Yeah, and he's got the Trocar hooks on them. They're good stuff.
They make a bunch of good stuff. I used to get all my drop shot weights from them. Their black and red buzz bait thing is noisy, and I love it.
Yeah, they come squeaking right out of the
gate. I swear he sets them up and just puts a giant chop fan in front of him and just lets him spin for a few days before he sells them. Because they do. They sound like they are worn the hell out, which is what you want on a buzz bait. But they sound rough right out of the gate.
They're
good if I didn't have so much confidence in the Accent buzz baits now, I'd probably. I mean, I still use them for nighttime. I like his for nighttime. But they're
I don't know what running. It is. It's the only ones I can catch fish on consistently. So I'm always throwing that one.
For anybody in the market, I think Cash and Rods is going to be there again. They had a pretty good booth last year. I'm with Dobbins, but just like being with any other company, you never know how good what you have is until you trust other stuff. So I like throwing a drop shot, and not many people have designated Pro Series drop shot rods, and John Cruz had one.
Cruz one. Yeah.
I bought that one. Really cool. Not really my jam.
They make a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's complaining about Cash, and I look for very different things out of a drop shot rod than most people. And it was one of those, it was such a good deal, I had to try it. So, that being said, if anybody's looking for a John Cruz Cash and drop shot rod, your boy has got one in perfect condition that's been used 5 times. Hit me up.
Yeah.
We hope to see everybody there. If we don't see you there, we hope we see you at the Delt Hollow stop coming up. Still don't have the graphic up on this. I'm going to have to remind Brian to put it up here. But that's coming up. Double dip, fish with CTKA, fish with us. We'll have prizes and food and beer and all the goodies. But until then,
good time.
We will see everybody next week. It's been another great show here on The Reel Down, and we will see y'all later. Peace.
Good stuff. See you.
Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois and the whole crew here at Duck Camp Dinners every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. Birds up in the sky. Through the Blackwater bayous and in the dark Louisiana night floats a duck camp, alive with the sounds of swamp pop and the smells of Cajun cooking. From the Mississippi Delta in Venice to the Cajun prairies of the Southwest, me and the Duck Camp Dinners crew will be hunting eating it all.
This is Duck Camp Dinner.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.